Hello.
Hello. Welcome back to the podcast.
Crazy AF podcast where two millennial women talk about their mental health shit.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And I'm Fran, and I have PTSD, anxiety, and some depression.
I'm Frankie. I have OCD, anxiety, and apparently fucking depression, which we'll talk about today.
So, I don't know if we even want to do our, like, how are you? Because I feel like this whole episode is going to be, how are you?
True. We could do a brief, how are you?
Okay.
Just to introduce it.
Take it away.
So, how are you, Fran?
Oh, okay. Oh. Neither of us wanted to start.
Neither of us want to start.
Tonight. I am okay. I'm better this week. As we'll kind of get into it, talking about seasonal affective disorder. It's been a rough couple of weeks, honestly. But this week has been better, I think mainly because I've been working out more. I've just been like,
that's
fuck
amazing.
It. I'm just going to try to channel this sad into something good for my body. And so that's kind of what I've been doing. Been doing more regular workouts and just trying to do whatever I can for my body. I made like a little self-care list. And this is not like, oh, take a bath, like shit like that. This is like literally things that I can do when I'm at work and I'm staring out the window at my desk feeling fucking horrendous. Like, go make tea.
What's on your list?
Go for a walk. Eat some cashews, like stretch for 5 seconds, like put on a podcast, think of something creative to do, like things like that where it motivates me to just do one thing. And after you do the one thing, it becomes easier to do the other things, more things. So that's kind of, it's been helping. I took a little half day on Thursday because I just like, I couldn't do it anymore. I had a tension headache and I needed a break. And I just watched Sex Education and painted. And, I also got a hella pep talk from Eli this week because I've been feeling more than just seasonal, like, depression, like, creatively stagnant, and it's been making me depressed. And so, honestly, briefly, like, I think that when I came back from the funeral and, you know, meeting my brother for the first time, I tried to write a blog post. And when it wasn't, like, in my mind, Pulitzer worthy, I was like, oh my God, I can't write right now. And so I've kind of stopped writing. And I haven't been making stuff. I don't have video ideas. Like, I've just felt like shit, honestly, creatively. And I've just been complaining about that. And this week, Eli was like, okay, I get it. Like, you don't know what to write. You don't know what to, you don't have any video ideas, whatever. But that doesn't mean that you can't paint. You should fucking paint. And he just kind of like slapped me in the face creatively with that and was like, yeah, like, don't just whine and make excuses. Like, go paint and then you'll feel better. And I was like, okay. But then I did it. And it was great. And so I've just been painting a little bit every day and still trying to journal, and it's been helping. And yeah, that's my update.
Wow. this episode is dedicated to Eli.
Yeah, for real. He just made me a quesadilla, and like, he doesn't have to propose to me because like, I've already said yes. I was whining and
me this quesadilla.
I was whining and I was hungry, and he was like, okay, well, I can make a quesadilla. And I was like, yes.
Right?
I will marry you.
Oh, I wanted Eli. Anyway.
How are you?
I feel like shit. Which, yeah, so I feel like every time I've introduced the podcast and I've been like, hi, I have OCD and anxiety and sometimes depression. depression is so rare for me.
Yeah.
That I genuinely sometimes forget what it feels like until it's like back in my face and it's like, listen, fuck you. Like that's what it's doing. So, last week on the podcast, I talked about it in my update about how I was more anxious than usual.
Yeah.
Fran's nodding. I think so. That means it did happen. And then this week, I got depressed, which I think sometimes, and I've heard this from therapists, so I don't know if I can find this on the internet somewhere, but I've been told that sometimes when you get too anxious, your body will naturally become depressed as a kind of defense mechanism for counteracting how high it is from the anxiety. So I think that's kind of what fucking happened.
I know that I've felt that before too, and like that has happened to me. So as far as I'm concerned, that's legit.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been feeling it for a couple days now. Mm-hmm. I was also sick this week, so that didn't help anything.
Right.
Yeah. So I just, I think it's, and the thing that I was noticing is that, like, when I was alone, I would get really, like, sad and very angry. Which usually when I'm alone, I love being alone. I relish in my alone time. I love it. It's my favorite thing. So when I was starting to get really kind of, like, having, like, a lot of dark feelings when I was alone, I was like, what the fuck is going on? I texted a lot of people and told them that I felt like this, which if you're listening, you should also do. And yeah, I don't know. I think when I feel like this, like right. The more it's happened to me, and it hasn't happened to me very often, I know it's going to go away.
Yeah.
And I just kind of have to, like, wait out the storm, so to speak. Like, I know it's going to lift, but I need to kind of, like, wait it out. Last night, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll just, like, be thinking, and then I'll just, like, think of a tweet that I'll write, or think of a short, funny thing that's whatever. So last night I was trying to go to sleep, and I couldn't. And I thought of a headline that said, girl who takes 3 depression naps a day has trouble sleeping at night. A case study.
Yeah.
I was like, no wonder you can't sleep. You slept all day. Like,
and I think that flows really nicely into what we're going to talk about today, which is seasonal depression or seasonal affective disorder, also known as SAD.
Sad as fuck.
So I know that we have that here in upstate New York because it fucking never stops snowing between November and fucking like April. So
right. So for context, if you forgot, Fran lives in upstate New York and I live in Los Angeles. Do you know how many people I talk to who think that you live here?
What?
Yeah, they're like, oh my gosh. I'll be like, oh, I recorded the podcast, and they're like, oh, like, I want to meet Fran, and I'm like, yeah, same. They're like, she lives in New York? Like, how do you record it? Yeah, Fran lives in upstate New York, and I live in LA, for context.
But I was really interested, though, to learn when we chatted before we started recording that you, like, seasonal depression happens in fucking California, too. And I just want to know, like,
what,
how? What and how, and because, like, for a brief overview, like, in upstate New York, like, you can't go for a walk right now, you know, you can't get outside. Yeah. And so we are feeling cooped up from, like, November to April. And it's really only, really, for me personally, it only gets bad from, like, January to April, because the holidays is the end of the year, and so you don't really think about it.
Yeah.
But, like, it's been fucking sub-zero temperature. Like, it's below zero. It's been if not below zero, it's been like the 20s. See, in my mind, I do not want to fucking leave the house when it's below 30 degrees. Like, that's ridiculous. But shit out of luck there. I can't
even comprehend the temperatures you're saying right now.
But there's also been like super high winds and like it's been fluctuating so much. This is your weather report. There's like freezing rain and then like super high winds and then a lot of snow. And so what happens with the high winds plus snow is like whiteout blizzard conditions that just make it really scary to drive. Hello, yeah. For me personally. And it's not fun. And you have to drive places and it sucks. And then you can't even like, there's no reprieve from it. Like, there's no, like, going for a walk and, like, clearing your head. You're just fucking inside. And so if you get bored of Netflix, you're fucked.
That's true.
So that's kind of what we have going on. But what does that look like in California?
Well, I'd first like to apologize for everything I'm about to say.
No!
Because, like, I understand that Californians are complaining about what is essentially nothing. That being said, someone mentioned seasonal depression in my OCD group a couple weeks ago, and we talked about it because in the last several weeks in LA, it's been raining. It's so dumb when I say this, but it's been raining a lot more frequently than it has in past years. So, I mean, raining for like several days in a row.
Yeah.
Out of the week for several weeks. I said to my supervisor this week, because we were like, it's going to rain later this week. And I looked at her and I was like, I don't think I'm going to be able to take much more of this. What does that mean? I don't know. It means that I'm cold and sad.
Here's the thing, though. But that's exactly how I feel. So I don't really think that there's much of a difference because you can't really go outside and take a walk. You're fucking cold and you're fucking sad. So it's the same. I mean, I'm not judging.
Yeah. It's just like, so like the barometer for living in Southern California is just different in that like we are very used to, you know, 60 and 70 degree weather year round.
Yeah.
So when it's not that, we get really like moody. Cagey. And also, moody. And also in LA, typically, I mean, everyone, no one knows how to fucking drive in the rain. Like everyone drives a lot faster. People are fucked up. They just like, don't know. They don't understand water. It's like a real phenomenon. And also, I think the thing is, and I'm not sure if this is everyone, but the places that we live, so like my apartment specifically, isn't really built for cold temperatures, if that makes sense. So like we don't have central heating. We don't have like my room especially gets particularly cold because there is no heat in that room. So it's just like, it's just different. Like, when it gets cold, there's not a lot that we have to do necessarily, besides just like figure it out or wait it out or whatever. And I also, because I'm personally terrible, don't know how to dress in cold weather. Like I don't have any shoes. I like have one pair of boots and they're suede. So what the fuck? Oh no,
that's not good.
So it's not good for rain. I know. So a couple weeks ago, even though I was like, the rain's going to go away, I got a pair of rain boots and a raincoat from Everlane because they make sustainable stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And so I got those. Love them. Perfect. Amazing. Now I'm like warm and dry, which is great.
It's a great fix.
It's a good fix. But yeah, and also, like, to add into this, the whole daylight savings time situation is fucked.
There's, like, No, there's no light. So obviously you go to work and it's dark, and you leave work and it's dark. I mean, luckily I sit in front of a window. Like, I have a window at my desk. It's amazing. But it's like when it's dank and all you're seeing is like fucking blowing snow out your window, and you know you can't go outside. It really doesn't matter that much. It's really not like you're getting that much light. So, I mean, to kind of wrap this into how it makes us feel, like I've said, just stagnant, like cooped up. I haven't really felt this in a while, but like, I'm sick of being in my apartment at the same time, I do not fucking want to go outside and drive anywhere. So it's this horrible paradox. And I'm cold. I need more light. I like need to exercise. And I think that's why I've started doing exercise just like in my room, because I need to do something with my body. The other day it was like 40 and we went for a 2 mile walk, and I was like, oh my God, I'm alive again. It was beautiful. But yeah, I think it just makes everyone feel like stir crazy. Like no matter where you live, like I think we're all just feeling kind of stir crazy. And then you go on Twitter and then you see the news and then you're just like, I don't know. It just feels harder to do everything, like harder to socialize, to do anything that you know will make you feel better, like socializing, just going out and like I've just been feeling so bored. Like I want to fucking experience something new, and there's nothing. And so I think that contributes to this kind of like underlying depression of like nothing is going to change. Nothing. I have nothing to look forward to. Honestly, that's how I've been feeling the last couple of weeks. Yeah. Like you said, this waiting game of we just have to wait it out. But when you don't have things to distract you in the meantime, that waiting is like fucking purgatory.
Super hard. If you dropped me in upstate New York right now, I would be fascinated for 5 minutes. I would be like, holy fuck, is it snowing right now?
No, but it's going to later.
I would panic with excitement. And then in like a week, I would be like on the floor. I would live on the floor.
I mean,
so sad.
I'm going to give you a really ugly snapshot of what it's like, because you said that thing about being cold and like for real. So I don't know how to dress either. Okay, I feel like I look like a fucking schlump from December to April. No. Like I just look like a just stupid, just bad, no style. And what happens is,
I want the record to reflect that I don't think that's true, but continue.
I don't OOTD my outfits when they're fucking, like, jeggings and a big pullover. Like, that's what I end up wearing to work.
I've been wearing socks with my Birkenstocks, so...
I love it. That's where we're at. That's really cute. But what happens is that, like, you wear all of your warm clothes, right? And then, undoubtedly, a snowstorm hits the same day that you want to go do your laundry. And so you don't do laundry. So then all your warm clothes are in the fucking hamper. And so you fucking rewear them like a gross person. And you just feel gross and also cold. And then you're down.
Cold.
Then you're down to your ankle socks when it's 20 degrees. And you really need your thick L.L. Bean socks. It's just a whole thing. It's a whole shitty thing.
Oh, I completely believe you. That's awful.
So what have we found any solutions to this? We need to give the people something. We need to turn it around.
The next part of the podcast is what the fuck do we do?
How do we fix this? I'm looking at my self-care like little list right now too.
What I was thinking of doing yesterday, and what I mostly did yesterday, which can be for depression or anxiety or seasonal depression is, and I got it from, I don't know if you watch Rosanna Hulse Rojas on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Love her. Mm-hmm. She's fucking amazing. So this is your tip to go check her out. She has talked before about how her therapist, they came up with a list of four things that she, that's like a to-do list for when you're feeling like particularly depressed or anxious. Yes. And the only four things on the list are drink a glass of water, make a meal, have a shower, and go outside. And that's, and then you do those things and that day is a win.
Yeah.
So I was like trying to do that yesterday.
Was it raining?
It was raining for some part of the day. But again, mostly I was just being really bad and I was like sleeping a lot. Mm-hmm. So technically I went outside to take my trash out.
Yes, you did it.
I had a glass of water. I guess technically I made a meal and I did have a bath. So I technically did all four of those things. But it just like gives you such a like an actionable, what can I do right now?
Yes. And I made one of those kind of, I mentioned my work one, but there's also home. Mm-hmm. And obviously exercise, I've already said it, like it's been helping a lot. Like putting on the Mamma Mia 2 soundtrack and fucking lifting has been really, really working. But like watering my plants, that has been great. Like I feel like I'm nurturing something and like I'm doing something that is going to actively have an effect on another living thing.
Yeah.
That feels really good. Go for a walk, obviously, if it's possible. Do a face mask. Vacuum. Hell yeah. Vacuum my apartment because love doing that. And like watch a movie or something. Like I'm just something because I think that we, at least I know that I, when I get super depressed or anxious, I'll just like go to the social media recesses of the internet and just look at shit that's probably going to make me feel terrible. Whereas, and that's like kind of our go-to thing because we just pick up our phone as a reflex.
Yeah, absolutely.
So like forcing yourself to just do something like watch a movie or read a book that will engage your mind creatively, but also allow you to escape, but you're not putting any really bad shit into yourself by doing that, I think is like a great plan. It's been working for me.
I also think that like, cause not only will I just like endlessly scroll on Instagram or something, but I'll fall into like a YouTube rabbit hole. And the thing about that is that it's not like, it's not really active engagement. Whereas I think, like, if you settle down and you're like, okay, I'm going to, you know, like, have a meal, I'm going to have my dinner, and then I'm going to, like, get a cup of tea, and I'm going to sit in my bed, and I'm going to turn this movie on. There's something really, like, nesting about that. There's very, yes. It feels very good to do that. Like, the other day I finally watched Black Klansman.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to settle down and just, like, you know, give Jeff Bezos $5 so I could watch this fucking movie. And I loved it. And it was, like, such a way to, like, sit down and, like, have a true moment to, like, engage with this thing.
Yeah.
Without, like, kind of aimlessly scrolling through stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And, I mean, that's the thing that I actually do love about winter in upstate New York is the nesting thing. But I think at a certain point, you just go stir crazy and you stop thinking of the useful, productive things to do when you're cooped up in your home. And then I know that Eli and I just resort to looking at each other going, well, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? And it's just like, it cycles out. Like last night we actually had like, it was good. It turned out okay, but he got kind of sad for like no reason. It just hit really, really, really fast. And so we were trying to think of things to do, and it was kind of cute and funny because he Googled, I will legitimately find it because it was really funny. What to do when you're bored and sad and you can't think of anything and you're making your wife unhappy. And like that was cute and funny, but like it came up with this really silly list of like make a milkshake, like go for a walk, just all this shit. And yeah, we then he kind of came out of it and then I fell into a thing. And so it was like by the end of it after dinner, I was just like, I just don't want to do this thing anymore where we sit here and go, I'm not sad. Are you sad? Oh, you're sad. I'm sad now. Are you sad? Oh, okay. We're both sad. Great. Like it gets to be, just like a cycle sometimes, yeah. I think. So we watched 500 Days of Summer because I've been trying to get him to watch that movie for 4 years. And
love that
he
movie.
Finally did. And I've been reading a lot more too, if we're just going to be talking about the things that have been helping, like,
that's
reading, feeling like I'm doing something fucking productive and useful for myself. Like, mm-hmm. check off that I read 4 books in a month. Like, that is an actionable thing that isn't just looking at Twitter and getting sad.
That's true. That's very true. I've been reading this week. I think reading is such a thing for me that, like, if I'm not doing it, I'm upset.
Me too. Yeah.
But because of the book I'm reading right now, I found that when I am reading it, I am upset.
Yeah. I kind of saw you mention this.
You saw, yeah. You saw it on my Instagram story. I am reading American Overdose, which is a nonfiction book about the opioid epidemic. Which I started reading maybe like 2 weeks ago and is incredibly well written and fascinating, but also makes me so fucking angry.
Yeah.
Because it's literally just a story of like people who are so greedy that they like, you know, ignore signs of like rampant addiction to like sell these drugs. So that makes me crazy. So I've been, like, asking people for other book recommendations. And I've also been, like, reading a little bit of poetry on the side when I felt particularly bad. So I picked up My Love, My Life, Kaveh Akbar's poetry collection.
Yeah.
Because he's my favorite. And reading his poetry was... And it's also, like, something about poetry, too, is very, like, almost tactile. Like I'm... It helps me to focus on the words a lot more.
Yeah, you really have to sit with it.
You really have to sit with it. You really have to focus on what you're reading. Whereas in nonfiction or fiction, I can read sentences and kind of put my brain on autopilot and not pay attention.
Yeah. It's the other thing that I like in terms of reading is I listen to a lot of like memoirs or that kind of stuff, like, but read by the author. So I'm currently waiting. I'm currently waiting on Busy Phillips's book, and I like can't wait to listen to it because I believe that she reads it. And like, those are my car books because they make it a happy, funny time where you're just kind of like listening to someone tell their own story, and it's really nice. It's not quite like fiction, and it's not as heavy as like other nonfiction. So it's just fun for me. I had to recommend one to listen to, I would recommend Nick Offerman and Megan Mullally's The Greatest Love Story Ever Told, because they, I don't know if I've told you about this before, stop me if I have, they originally wrote it by talking to each other and recording it on his phone.
That's dope.
So the book, if you were to get a physical copy, it would just read M:N, like it just goes back and forth. And I think that would be kind of horrible to physically read, so it really is like much better suited to an audiobook. It was my favorite audiobook I have listened to in a long time, because it was like your fucking amazing comedic parents just telling you about their love, and it was delightful. It was like they had a podcast. Highly recommend. That made me happy.
I agree. I think that's like, that's amazing. Also, it's, like, I think it's so important to find these kind of, like, little, like little sanctuaries that you're making for yourself. Like you were talking about, like your car time is like the time for audiobooks.
Yes.
Which I think is so fun because it makes you look forward to something that you wouldn't ordinarily look forward to. And like one of my favorite things is like I love nothing more than like being in my kitchen on a Sunday afternoon listening to a podcast and like batch cooking my lunches for the week or like cooking my dinners for the week. Like something about that is feels very much like nesting. It feels like I'm being productive, but I'm also like caring for my body and I'm like trying to set myself up to feel good later. And my brain is also engaged with this podcast. It's just like, it's something about the, and like now I look forward to it, even though Sunday is obviously like sad because you have to go to work the next day.
Yes, I think, that's such great advice and like a really good thing to include is like, we are obviously in this season of you need to be inside more. And I really try not to be like, oh my God, where the, like, think spring. Like, where is spring? We need winter to end. Like, I hate that because I think that there is
hashtag
something really...
think spring.
Yeah. Like, fuck that. We kind of rush through seasons and moments in our lives. And we don't... You know, then we rush too far past them and then we look back and we're like fucking nostalgic for everything. And it's right. Because we don't take the time to figure out how to enjoy and be present in every season, even if it like sucks at some moments. And so that's been my challenge for this winter is to like figure out how to like winter and like what elements we can enjoy. So I think like finding ways to enjoy the nesting and enjoy being cooped up is our challenge. And if you can do it and you can use those tools next winter when it's terrible again and you can actually look forward to it like you look forward to Sunday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I think that's our advice.
It's to find... make a little nest inside of your own personal hell.
If that's not the episode title, I'm going to be really disappointed in you.
That's the episode title, officially.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Okay, well, speaking of things to look forward to.
Oh, yeah.
What are you looking forward to, Fran?
God damn it. Every time you hit me with this question, I haven't thought it through yet.
I haven't thought mine through.
Well, you're going to have to cut out me just thinking about it for a minute.
How am I going to cut out that fucking sound? I'm looking forward to, even though I'm currently depressed, one, there is a secret Mexican food restaurant in my neighborhood that is tucked away on a street, and I've never been before, but I'm going today, and I'm excited because I want to understand it. I hope it's good. I'm excited about that. Also, one of the only things that has been making me not depressed recently, or like one of the only things I've been looking forward to, is spending time writing my book. For some reason, that has been like my time, like with the character. Even though my book is like incredibly dark, for some reason, like getting to just sit there and like be in it with this character is just like. For some reason, just like is something that I feel comforted by. And I'm trying to finish the first draft by the end of June. So it'll be drafted.
I am so jealous of you and happy for you at the same time. Like, oh my God. I want that.
Because usually writing makes you, like, a lot of the time, I don't have a relationship with writing where I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to do it. Ha ha. Hashtag big spring. Like, Think Spring is just my catch-all for how stupid everyone is all the time. But, like, it's something that I do because I know that I ultimately, like, that it feeds my soul, so to speak. Even I cringe saying something like that. But I'm never like, oh my God, I love doing this right now. But for some reason, right now, sitting down with this specific character in this story just, like, really does it for me.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm so happy. Ah,
it's wild.
That is Dope.
Anyway, what are you looking forward to, Fran?
I'm excited for... to possibly get the Busy Phillips book to download to my
hell yeah
thing.
Hell
that, yeah. That might come in this week.
You work at the library, so I'm assuming you have mad library connections.
Well, the thing is, with an e-audiobook, it just kind of goes to the way that the list works, so I can't really manipulate that shit. Okay, I thought of one. We're having tacos at Eli's house tomorrow, shrimp tacos, and then we're also having tacos Tuesday night at my apartment. So, two tacos 2 days in a row.
That's so, like, my kind of life.
We have that. I don't know who I am anymore, but I'm excited to, like, exercise, I guess. And that's, and I'm excited to paint.
I don't know who I am anymore, but I'm excited to exercise.
Like, ew, who is she? But I'm excited to paint and continue watching Sex Education, because I really like that show. And that's probably it. Just keep on
doing it. I started the show Pen 15, Rest Night on Hulu.
Yes. Oh my god, yes.
It is fucking wild.
I love it. And this will be our brief aside about that show, but Eli was homeschooled, so we were watching that together, and anytime something just absolutely bananas happened, which is every other minute, he was like, why aren't you freaking out at what these children are doing? And I was like, bitch, I lived this. Like,
yeah, this happened.
Nothing is really shocking to me. It's just kind of hard to watch.
So for context, if you haven't heard of the show Pen 15 on Hulu, it's basically about these two grown women who are playing seventh graders.
Yeah.
And they're going to school in the seventh grade, but it's like the year 2000. So it's like mad 2000s vibes.
Oh, yeah.
It's whole thing. Do you remember when you were like in fucking seventh grade and you just wanted to flat iron the shit out of your hair? You wanted your hair to fucking burn.
So I don't think my hair is so straight. I didn't really have to do that. I did it a little bit
too, but I burned it anyway.
I mean, hell yeah, I had a flat iron, and you wanted those ends to be like so dead.
So dead. So dead.
It's like, that show is hilarious, but it's also a little bit cringy, not because of like anything is badly written or anything or badly acted, but because it is so middle school.
It fucking kills.
And it really hurts. It really makes me laugh that you could so tell that their boobs are just like padded down so hard, and it's so funny. And that part makes me laugh.
Oh god,
I love it.
When it started and it was just them, it didn't feel that weird because I was like, they kind of, I guess, look like seventh graders, and then they go to school, and I was like, oh god,
you see real children,
and then I'm like, what?
I love it too, because like, they wrote it and they're in it, and that's just, you know, my favorite thing.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
So that's a happy making show. I would recommend that.
Watch that. Watch that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening and hanging out with us.
Hang in there. It's fucking gonna be okay. anyway, right. Hang in there.
Make a nest. We'll see you soon.
Make a nest. And we'll see you soon.
As in never, because Frankie and I haven't even seen each other.
Bye.
Bye.